Begin the current daf Masech the Baba Basra daf Kuf Chavav. We begin on the top line of the Amud, where the Gemara continues the discussion of the previous daf, talking about the halachas of a Bechayr, regarding what is it that he takes a double portion of and what does he not. So that the Gemara says that Amar Rav Huna Ravasi says that although that we explained the previous daf, that according to everybody, the Bechayr does not take a double portion regarding a Shvach, that the estate of his departed father increased because of the orphans that had improved it after his death. So although there was a machlis regarding what's called shivcha de b'meila, regarding an automatic increase, that was a machlis Rebbe Rabbanan. But if it's something that increased only because the orphans did stuff, that everyone agrees he will not get a double portion of. That says Ravasi, but b'chir shemicha, if the firstborn had protest, and he said, don't go ahead and work on my share of the inheritance. Rather, let's split it, and I'll go ahead, and I'll improve my own two portions, and I'll take all the gain. But the brothers were not interested in going ahead and dividing it. And they were working on the entire estate, and they said, okay, we'll take care of the division later on. And that says Ravasi, so then Micha. So ultimately he protested, and therefore he will take a double portion, because as the Gemara tells us later on, that the firstborn has a right to the double portion. He has his ownership in it, even before it's divided. From the moment that he wants to take possession of his firstborn portion, he could do whatever he wants to do with it right away. And here he wanted to divide it right away. And therefore, he got the rights to that portion right away, wherever it is. And therefore, although they went and they increased that, and generally, if it's increased before the division, after the father's death, he does not get that. That wasn't his. It's not b'chalesh yimatzalei. Here it was his already, because he said, no, don't do anything to mine. Give me my share. I'm willing to take it and work it in myself. So even if they don't list him and they do work it, he will get a double portion. Now, on that, Rabbi qualifies this halacha from Ravasi, and he says, Mistaber time in Ravasi, it's logical to say that the reasoning of Ravasi, that the Bechir will take a double portion, even though this was increased in the value by the orphans because he protested, would be specifically in the case when he protested, let's say, Ba'anavim, by grapes that are attached to the vines, Ubatsarum. Then his brothers, the orphans, went and harvested it without his awareness, or with his awareness, but against his will, where they didn't want to divide it yet. No, let's all work as brothers together. We'll figure out later. And he says, no, don't do that. I'll do it myself. Or let's say Zaysim. Let's say there were olives that were still attached when this Bechir had protested. Umasokum, and then his brothers, the orphans, went and picked the olives. And now by the harvesting and by the picking of the olives and the grapes, they made it now worth more in value. It's an available product. So it's in that Shvach, says Rabbi, the Ravasi was saying that the Bechir is going to take a double portion. That he's going to take a double portion from the grapes as they are harvested, and that he's not going to have to pay his brothers for the increase of the value now that it was harvested. Now the reason for that is because originally they were grapes, and they're still grapes. And therefore, it was the grapes of the Bechir that was increased in value because it was his. He said, no, it's mine already, and he could take possession of it right away, even before it's divided. So this would be like the case of somebody that steals someone else's cow and it goes up in value, that when he has to pay it back, he gives it back as it is, even though it's worth more now, because nothing changed in the item itself. So therefore, it says, Rabba, that's what the brothers have to give him now, his grapes, which were always his, even though now it's more in value because it was harvested. Aval, but says Rabba, derochum, but if his brothers had pressed the olives or the grapes with the intention of getting more value out of it through the pressing, that loy. There, the Bechir is not going to take a double portion. The reason for that is, as the Mishnah teaches us in Baba Kama, that Hagoizel Eitzim Vason Kelim, if someone steals wood and makes a kli, a vessel out of it, he's Mishalm Kishas Hagzeli, only pays according to the value how much the wood was before he made it into a vessel. And the reason for that is because the one who stole it was Kain B'Shinai. He acquired the wood by doing something, by changing the actual wood itself and turning it into a vessel. Here also says Rabbah, his brothers, the orphans, acquired these grapes by changing it, because they pressed it. Now it's not any more olives, it's olive oil. It's not grapes, it's grape juice now. So since they changed it, so that already changed, now it's not his anymore. His was only grapes. They don't have to pay him what it's worth now in the higher value of the grape juice, the wine, or of the oil. Rather, they give him how much it was worth when it was worth as the grapes. That in that shvach, he does not get a double portion. That's Rabbah. Rav Yosef Amar, he says no. In the halacha of Rav Asi, afilu d'rochem, it's even if the brothers had even pressed it. Now, the assumption of the Gemara at this point in Rav Yosef's interpretation is saying that even if his brothers pressed it, turned it into wine or into oil, that the Bechor will take a double portion in that wine. So it's on this interpretation of Yosef, the Gemara asks, Durachum, you're telling me that the Bechor is going to take a double portion even if the brothers pressed it? But why is he taking double portion? But Meikari Invi Hashtachamra, originally this thing that they, so to speak, stole from the brother because they didn't give him what's rightfully his, the firstborn could take it right away. And they went and they worked on it as all one big family, not as individual brothers with their inheritance. So as we said, the Bechor has the rights to take it right away. So they stole from him his grapes and now it's wine. So that is, as we said before, in interpreting Rabbah, who disagrees with Rav Yosef, that's a shinoi. They changed it, they stole it, and they did a shin to it, and therefore they acquired it. So therefore then they only have to give it back as it was worth, like the wood that they made into a vessel. You give back the amount of the wood, not of the vessel. Here also they don't give back the value of the wine, they give back the value of the grapes. So why are you saying that in that which they, so to speak, stole from the Bechor, have to give back even the shlach of the wine? Should only have to be in the grapes. So that the Gemara says, you're right. Could the Amar Rav Ukva Bar Chama, like Rav Ukva Bar Chama said, as we're going to shortly quote in what context he said that, it's litin loy demehezik anavav, like he says to answer that question, it's actually to give him the value of what was damaged to his grapes. Hachanami, in our context, what Rav Yosef is talking about is actually noisin loy demehezik anavav, is to give him the value of the damages that was done to his grapes. In other words, this that Rav Yosef says, afila drachem, even if the brothers pressed the olives or the grapes, was not like we had assumed that the Bechor is going to take a double portion in the profit of the wine that's more than the grapes that it originally was. No, for sure not. He's not going to take the value more than the value of the grapes themselves. Rather, what Rav Yosef was referring to was if actually the fact that it's wine now actually is worse because either it spilled out or the wine got ruined, where now it's not even worth the value that it originally was worth when it was grapes. On that, Rav Yosef comes to say that even if the brothers pressed the grapes and now made it worth less, the Bechor is going to take a double portion in the value of it being as harvested grapes, meaning as the value that they were worth when they were still grapes, because since he had protested regarding his brothers, and he says, no, don't take my portion and work on it, they should not have pressed his grapes, and therefore they have to compensate him the value of the grapes, yes, Hakol kashas egzela, however much it was worth when they had stolen from him. And really, it's what's called mar machado v'lei pligi. Really, Rav Yosef is not disagreeing with Rabbah. Rabbah, however, was only talking about the shvach, regarding how much does the brother, the Bechor, get to take a double portion on that. And that, he said, that's only if it was harvested. But it does not take in the shvach of the wine. And Rav Yosef agrees to that. What Rav Yosef was coming to say was that just like regarding the shvach, so too regarding the loss, he does not take in the loss of the wine more than that if it's less than the value of the grapes. It's the same idea as Rabbah, which is that once it gets turned into wine, yeah, that's no more regarding the Bechor. So it doesn't take the shvach, but neither does he take the loss, like Rav Yosef is adding on. So therefore he gets compensated for his portion that he gets, his pishnayim, is going to be from what it was worth when it was grapes, not what it was worth when it was turned into wine, because that portion of Bechayra is his right away, even before they split the inheritance, and therefore that he shouldn't lose because of that, and yes, he doesn't gain from that either, if it was changed from what it originally was, into the oil or into the wine. Now the Gemara just asks to explain, so Heichi Itmad Rav Ukva Bar Chama, in what context was this halacha that referring to, that Rav Ukva Bar Chama gave a similar answer for a different question, that it's not regarding the increase in the value of the grapes, but actually regarding the decrease in the value if it's turned into wine. So it's Gemara Had Amar Rav Yehuda Mishmul. It's going the following halacha of Rav Yehuda Mishmul. He said the following halacha: B'chayru Pashad Shanich Lehen Aviyem Anavim, regarding a firstborn and a regular brother, that's not the firstborn, who their father left over them grapes. Now Ubitzarim, then they went and they harvested. Or Zeisumu Masakim, that olives, and then they picked them. B'chayru Neitel Pishnaim, says Rav Yehuda Mishmul, the firstborn takes a double portion, where if it's talking about that if he protested beforehand, meaning he said, don't do these things, afilu d'rachem, even if they ended up pressing the grapes and turned it into wine, if the firstborn brother had protested, saying, no, don't do this to myself, I'll do it myself and I'll take my own shvach, so then he's going to get the shvach even if it turned now into wine. And that the question was, Drachim? Meikara Invi Hashtachama, the same discussion as we had in our Gemara, Rav Akiva Bachama said on this halacha of Yehuda Mishmol, which was, what do you mean? How could he take a double portion, even though he protested and it was really his, and they, let's say you call it stealing from him, but still, when it's grapes and turns into wine, that's Kanenu Bishinu. Whoever stole it, let's say this other regular brother, he acquired it and he doesn't pay how much the value is in the wine. So why would he give that increase in the value as a double portion to the brother? So Maruk v'Barchama, he says, you're right, it's litn loy demei hezek anaviv. It's to give him the value of the damages of the grapes. So what Rabbi Yehuda Mishmul was saying was that even if it's pressed, then he's going to take a double portion, not of the wine, but rather as the grapes were when they were harvested, meaning how much they were worth before they were pressed, because that damages, he does not have to suffer that loss. That could be for the regular inheritance with all the brothers, but regarding his portion of Bechira, that's different than Yerusha, that he has a right to right away, as we'll see later on in the Gemara regarding these rights that a Bechira has, even before the inheritance is divided. Another teaching on this topic from Omar Vasi says, regarding a firstborn son that took a portion in one of the father's many fields, like all the other brothers, meaning every brother took one portion, he only took one portion. He did not take a double portion in that field. So he has now been meichel, he has now forgiven his rights as a firstborn to take a double portion, as the Gemara is going to explain according to either opinion, if it means only in this field or it means actually in all the father's assets. As we explained this already in Kuf Chof Dalid, that a Bechir has the option of saying, look, I'm not going to take the rights of a firstborn, I'm not going to take a double portion, and neither am I going to give to the father's creditors a double portion. He's allowed to do that. The reason for that is because the portion of the firstborn, that double portion, is different than the regular inheritance, because the Torah calls it a matana, a gift. And if he doesn't want it, then you can't force someone to take a gift, and therefore he can't merit in it anymore. He refused to take the gift. Now, that the Gemara asks, as we just alluded to, my viter. So what has he given up now that he has only taken one portion and not a double portion as a bechar? So a machlekes. Rav Papa Mishmei de Rava Amar, he says in the name of Rava, that Vitra Ba'itza Sada, he has given up the rights of a double portion in this field. Rav Papi Mishmei de Rava Amar, he says a different version of Rava, Vitra Bechala Nachasam Kulam, he has given up the rights in all the father's assets. Now that he has not taken a double portion in one of them, he can't take in anything else. Explains the Gemara there, Machlaikis. Rav Papa Mishmei de Rava Amar, he says Vitra Ba'itza Sada, he says that the brother's only given up the rights in that field, because Kasavar, he holds, Ein loy lebechair, the Bechair, the firstborn, does not have his portion of Bechaira, neither to give it or to sell it, Kaidim Chaluka, before that they actually divide as an inheritance that field. Because as the Pasuk says regarding the firstborn, as of his double portion, it says, Lost loy to give to him, which is until it reaches to the hand of the one who receives the gift, only then does he have the rights. But up until he gets it, meaning when they actually divide it, only then does he get it. Up until then, he has no rights. And therefore, Omad Asliyade, so what came to him already, meaning regarding this field, that he already took a regular portion of inheritance, and it was at that time that he should have then taken advantage and taken the portion of the Bechaira, because that's when they're dividing it, and then you could call it Lasis Lai. So it's regarding that that he could be Achel, that he could forgive it. So it's regarding that field that he is Viter. But Idach, but regarding all the father's other assets, Lo Yachal, that he has not forgiven. Because a person cannot be Makna Dov Shalei B'Lo'ilam, he can't give up, acquire, do something with it until it's not extant yet. So until it's actually divided, that he has not married in it yet, so therefore he's not Vitor on the rest of it. Now, for sure, Rashbam holds that regarding the what's called the Chelik Pshitos, regarding his regular portion of the inheritance, where you don't merit in it before it's divided because it's not been clarified which is his portion, that for sure he can't be. But on that holds Rav Papa, that even regarding the Chelik HaMacher, it's also until it's divided, which is only this field, but the rest which were not, he has not been Viter. Now, however, just points out Rashbam, that if he dies before it's divided, then it doesn't make a difference if he's a firstborn or a regular son. Then his own son will inherit with his brothers, meaning with the uncles, and he'll take his father's portion when they're coming to divide, because it's not any worse where then where the father dies and then the son dies, where then the grandson inherits, than from a case where if the son dies when the father's still alive, where also the grandson inherits, as the Pasuk says, which is, I love you, check how if he has any descendants. But again, before it's divided, at that point when they're alive, then neither the father nor the son, no one could go ahead and sell it then, but that doesn't take away and detract, but when he dies, then even a grandson could go ahead and inherit. But that's what Rabbah holds. During this time before it's divided, there's no mechila. This field, which it was divided, and he didn't take double portion, so that he has already given up, he can't take it, the Bukhari portion anymore. Now, but Rav Papi Mishmei Rav Amar, he said, no, Vita Bechol Nasam Kulan, he held that this Bukhari has given up now the rights in all the father's assets, because Kesavra, he held that Yesh Lo Yila Bukhari Kaim Chaluka, which is this concept that we were mentioning before, that the firstborn has rights before it's even divided. So although that regarding his regular portion as a regular brother, that he doesn't have yet, but in this context, since it says Loseis Loi, to give to him, which that infers according to Rav Papi, that at the moment the father dies, it's fit to be given the double portion of the Bechar to the Bechar. And therefore it totally contingent on the Bechar, that at any time when he wants to, he could either get the rights of his double portion, as we said before, that a Bechar Shemicha Micha, and this was the concept that we were referencing before, the way Rav Papi is saying it, that if he protests, he protests, because it was already at that time that the Bechar could go ahead and say, no, I don't want you to work on this field, even though we didn't divide it. My first one portion is mine already. And therefore, just like he has the rights to take possession of it, he could also be Meichel in it whenever he wants to. Because it is a Davar Habala Olam, and that is contesting Rav Papa. It's already here. And therefore, we testify that just like Umad Achel Baha, just like he went and he was forgiving of a double portion in this field, Achel Bakulu, he's already also given up his rights. He doesn't want to be any different than the rest of his brothers of taking a double portion in any one of the father's assets. And again, so like we explained, since he has the rights to take possession of it right now, he also has rights to go ahead and give it away and to be Meichel in it, and therefore it's Mechila, and the Mechila is in all the possessions. Now the Gemara clarifies and says, this machlokes Rav Papi and Rav Papa had in regards to this halacha of Viter that he's given up, that they both sit over in the name of Rava, different versions. One said that the Viter is only in this field, and one says that Rava held Viter was in all the fields. Lav beferi shitma. It's not something that Rava had explicitly said that then they heard different versions. El machlokes itma. It was inferred by the two of them, which they took different inferences from the following incident that happened with Rava. Dahu bechar da azel. Because there was a certain firstborn that went, and Zavin Nichsei Didehu DePashta, he sold his shears and his regular brother's shears. In other words, he sold all of his father's assets, which had his two shears, and had his regular brother's one shear, before they went ahead and divided the estate. He sold all his father's fields without his brother's permission. Now, he did it for the purpose of his brother too. He wasn't going to steal the brother's monetary dividends. He was going to give that share to the brother, but without consulting with his brother, who might want to take that portion, he sold it off, and he was going to give his brother just one third of the money. Now, Azal Yasmi b'nei Pashat. So then, the orphans, this children of that regular brother who had passed away, they went l'meichel tamri mahan l'kuches to eat the dates from those fields, which was really rightfully their father's share of the fields, which these people had bought. They went to the consumers and wanted to eat the dates because it's really their father's field that his older brother sold without permission. So mechunu. So those consumers who were now living in these fields, they were hitting these orphans who were trying to eat the dates. So amrilu, so they said to the consumers, the kravim of the orphans, the relative of the orphans told the consumers, wait, it's not enough that you purchase their properties without their awareness, without their father's awareness, because this was the portion that was deserving to be by that regular brother, which the older brother had no right to sell. But you're even going to go ahead and hit them, you had no rights to buy it. And for sure you have no rights to hit these children. So they came in front of Rava. Amalahu, he said to them, Loi Asa, the firstborn, has not done v'loikum nothing. Meaning with this sale that he sold, he has no right. You can't go ahead and sell it. This is the brother's portion. You can't go ahead and sell this thing without permission. It's not a valid sale. Now, regarding that statement of Rava, regarding that incident, as we continue to Mabez, that was their machlokes, how to infer what Rava held. That is, Marsava, Rav Papi held, what Rava was saying was, Loi Asa klum bepalga, that the firstborn has not done anything regarding half of the inheritance, meaning regarding the part of the pshitas, regarding the regular shares of the inheritance, where for sure he had no rights to do it in the portion of the brother. But in regard to the portion of the firstborn, that Rav Papi held that Rav would hold that was a valid sale, because of Yesh Lebacharkoid Mechaluka. And that's where he gets it from. He was saying, no, Rav was only saying he had no rights to sell the regular shears because it wasn't divided yet. Who are you to sell the whole father's estate? But the Bechari portion, he was inferring that Rav would hold that that would be good. And therefore you see this concept that he said that the brother has his shears before, and therefore he held that if the brother's moichel on one field, he's moichel on everything because he already has those shears right away of his firstborn portion. But Umar Savar Bekulu, Rav Papa held that no. What Rav was saying is not valid here. He was saying the sale to the consumers was totally invalid. Not only the parts of the pshitus, but even the parts of the brother's firstborn portion, his double portion, because he held that Ein loy lebachar kein chalukah. The brother, the firstborn, has nothing. It only happens when you divide. Then you get the rights to your firstborn portion. And since it wasn't divided, nothing is valid. And therefore, Rav Papa said that when he's a vitor, it's only on that one field, because that was divided, but the other fields that weren't, he has not been forgiven on nothing, not even his double portion. Now, Shulchan Mitam, they sent from there, from Eretz Yisrael, regarding this halacha, regarding a firstborn that sells his portion before the fields are even divided, he hasn't done anything. Says the Gemara, Alma we see that those from Bnei Marava, those from Eretz Yisrael, held that the firstborn does not have any rights before it's divided, and therefore you can't go ahead and sell it. You have no rights to it before it's divided. But says the Gemara, V'hilchasa yesh lebachar kain chalukah, the halacha actually is, and that's how the Rashbam had explained the previous Gemara, which was using this concept on Omer Alf on the top to explain this idea, where the Bechair does have his share of Bechairah even before it's divided, and therefore, if he sells, or if he's Meichel, or he takes only one portion like a Pashut and he doesn't take his double portion, he has been viter b'chol nachasim kulam. He has given up all his rights to the estate because the Torah calls a portion of the Bechair a matana, which means to say that the moment the father dies is given over to the Bechair, and therefore he has all the rights in it even before it's divided, and therefore all the halachas that we mentioned on Aleph apply to this concept of yesh lebechair kain chalukah. He has the rights in all facets even before the field's even divided. Now, relating to this halacha, says the Gemara the following incident: Marzutra midrishpa. Palag Bitsana de Papali. He went and he split a basket full of peppers, Bahadi Achen, together with his brothers as inheritance. Bishava, he split it equally. Asla came de Ravashi, so he came in from the Ravashi, Omale. Ravashi said to him, oh, Hail Vitarta Bemikzis, since you were forgiving on part of the estate, because even this one basket of peppers, you were supposed to take a double portion and you didn't. Vitarta Bechal and Chasim Kulan, so now you have given up all your rights of a double portion in all your father's properties, again, based on the halacha concept that we just said before, because the Bechar has the rights before it's divided. And from the fact that you're Meichel on this one, it's considered Dava Habala, you had all the rights now even before the other fields are divided. Therefore, we say that you have given up all the rights in all the properties, and therefore you can't take any more double portion than anything from your father. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, again, continuing on the theme of inheritance and regarding the theme of Bechair, regarding the double portion of a firstborn. Says the Mishnah as follows: Ha'imer, if someone says, Ish Pleini Bini, that person, my son, is a Bechair, he's a firstborn, but Lo Yitl Pichnaim, I don't want him to take, he's not going to take a double portion in the inheritance. Or Ish Pleini Bini, Lo Yerushim Echab, or that person is my son, a regular son, he's not going to inherit with his brothers in the inheritance. Says the Mishnah, Lo Yamaklum, that father who said that has not said anything for halachic validity. Why? Shehisna Masha Kasab Torah. He has stipulated on what it says in the Torah, meaning he's trying to uproot the words and the directives of the Torah. And therefore, against this father's will, that brother will inherit with the other brothers. And he cannot remove a brother, a son of his, from the inheritance unless, as we'll see in the Mishnah, if he uses the terminology of gifting, of matana, where he says, I want all my properties to go to my other sons. Or he says that my other sons should inherit all my properties, where, as like Rabbi Yechim and Berikah says this on Nav Kofel Amar Manav, that you can do stuff like that. But to say that this son will not inherit, what the Torah says that every son does inherit. You cannot go directly opposite what the Torah's directives are. Now, however, says the Mishnah, Machalk Nechasav Al Piv. If someone is what's called a Shchimra, a person on his deathbed, and he commands where he's dividing up his estate based on his words. Because the Shchivmra, the halacha is, does not need an actual kinyan, a formal acquisition, not a document, not mashicha, rather with his words itself. And the reason for this is because since he's commanding because he's about to die, as the Gemara explains later on, Perek Misha Meis. So if a dying person on his deathbed is ribula echad, he gives to one of the brothers more than the rest. He gives him double. or umit le'echad, one of the brothers, he's going to give less than the rest. Or v'hishva lehen nesabachar, he gives the firstborn equal, not a double portion, I don't want my children to be any different, equal to the rest of the brothers. And he does this in the terminology of matana, of gifting. Oh, then devarv kayamin. Then his words have validity, because a person has the ability to give his money away as a gift to whoever he wants to. And there's no problem of masna mashakas b'Torah that he's stipulating against the uproot words of the Torah, because he's not saying anything opposing the actual directives of Yerusha. He's just giving it away now before he dies. And when he dies, there's just not going to be anything left for his children to inherit in the regular way of inheritance, that the regular brothers take equal and that the Bukhar takes a double portion, because he's already giving it away. So giving it away, you can do however you want. Now, but im amim mishum Yerusha, like we said before, but if when he's saying this, he's saying it in the prism of inheritance, oh, then lo yamaklum, then he hasn't said anything. So if he's giving one more, one less, with the terminology of Yerusha, where he says, this son will inherit this field that's a base kor. And then he says, but that other son will inherit what's called a lesach, which is half of a kor. Or, and he says regarding this firstborn son, that he'll inherit a field like all the other brothers. Then he hasn't said anything, because since he's using the terminology of inheritance, he's stipulating against what the Torah says, because he cannot make someone a Yairish only the way the Torah says it. Which Rashbam points out that this is not like Rabbi Yochanan Bereku, who says later on, that if someone says regarding someone that's fit to inherit, like one of the sons, and he says, I want him to get a certain amount, then his words are valid. Our Mishnah is like the Rabbanah who dispute Rabbi Yochanan Bereku. Now, The Rabbanan are saying here an added chiddush when they're saying that you want to add more to one brother or to take away from one brother. But if he says it in the terminology of Yerusha, he hasn't said anything. For sure, then, if let's say what he would be uprooting the entire inheritance from the brothers and giving it to only one of the brothers, which is how Rabbi Yochanan says it, then still the Chacham say, La'asav la'kum, he hasn't done anything. Again, because if you're doing it in the words of Yerusha, it has to be as the Torah says it. You want to gift it? Fine. Yerusha, that you can't do. Now, it concludes the Mishnah, but if let's say Kasam, let's say he writes, Bei Mitchila, whether in the beginning of his document, or Bei Be'emtza, whether in the middle, or Bei Mesev, whether at the end, Mishum Atana, he does mention the terminology of gifting somewhere in there, then Dvarav Kayam, and then his words are valid, because since he at least added in the terminology of gifting, then it helps even for the rest, which he had been writing words of inheritance, since he wrote him their gifting, that he's allowed to do, and therefore that allows the entire stipulation that he had said to go through, and it's not a problem of masna mashakasa b'tayah. Now, ask the Gemara, le masnitin, should we say that our Mishnah, which taught this halacha, that a person cannot stipulate opposite the words of the Torah, it delay Rabbi Yehuda. It's not like Rabbi Yehuda. Now, the problem with that is that we generally hold, when there's a machlekes from Rabbi Yehuda, halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda. Our Mishnah would then seem to be not like the halacha, it would seem to be going like Rabbi Meir, not like Rabbi Yehuda. Says the Gemara, why? Dear Rabbi Yehuda, because it would be going like Rabbi Yehuda, ha'amar, but he says, b'davar shel mamon, when the person is stipulating against what the Torah says, regarding monetary law, then t'nai kayim, then the stipulation is actually valid. To sound like learning the b'raisa. Ha'ayim le'isha, if someone says to a woman, ha're'at mukadeshesli, you are going to be engaged to me with this money that I'm engaging you with, almanas, on the condition, she'en loch alai, that you don't have on me, which are three Torah stipulations, that you don't have on me she'er, that I'm going to have to provide you food, ksos, that I'm going to have to provide you with clothing, va'ayna, and that I'm going to give you marital relations. Says the first opinion, ha'rezu mekadeshes, she is engaged, because he's engaging her, he's giving her money, giving her a ring, but v'tanoi batl, his stipulation is void, because a person cannot stipulate regarding what the Torah says, and the Torah says you have to give a wife those three things. So therefore the kedushin, the act of a kedushin is a valid act of a kedushin, and the stipulation is like you didn't say anything, because you can't stipulate opposite the Torah, and therefore it's like you did a regular kedushin without making any stipulation. That's Dibriya Meir. Rabbi Hudaim, he says, B'davar shel mamon, regarding monetary law, which is regarding the clothing and the food, whereas regards to the aina of tashmish, that's actually a mitzvah, and it's also a physical pain that the woman has if she doesn't have the marital relations. So, but regarding the she'er and the ksus, t'na'ai kayim, says Rabbi Huda, the stipulation is valid. So it's going to be a kedushin, and he's going to have to provide her with aina, but he's not going to have to provide her with clothing and with food. And the problem is, our Mishnah is also talking about monetary law regarding how to divide up the estate, which is financials. And our Mishnah says, you cannot do that. So seemingly, our Mishnah is not like Rabbi Huda. And that says the Gemara, no, I feel like Rabbi Huda. You could even say our Mishnah is like Rabbi Huda. Because Hasim over there regarding Kiddushin, Yada v'komachlo, there the woman knows and she's forgiving. Meaning it's with that stipulation that he says, okay, I want you to know. Here's the ring, we're going to get married, but you're not going to get no clothing from me, no food. And she accepts it. Now, it's because of that benefit of getting engaged to him that she's forgiving on those things. So since she received the Kiddushin from him, she took it, she was obviously agreeable, and she was forgiving on it. That's what Rabbi Yehuda says, that's going to work. But hachal l'kamachal. But over here, in our case of our Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda would agree that there's no mechil over here, because what benefit does the son have that he should be meichel on his double portion or whatever his regular portion that he should be getting an inheritance? Now, Rashbam says, although the son is silent, that's not a sign that he's meichel. It's just that he doesn't want to get his father upset. So therefore, even Rabbi Yehuda would agree, although you could be maas namasha because of a Torah regarding money, that's only when the person that's losing out is agreeable to that. By the woman who's getting engaged. Here the son's not agreeable, and therefore you cannot just be masna amasha kasbatayra. It's only with a mechila that works, and here there's no mechila. Even Rabbi Yehuda would agree that it's not going to work. Now, continuing with the discussion of our topic of our Mishnah regarding the double portion of a bechayr, so Amar Rabbi Yisab, he says, as our Mishnah was talking about regarding a father who says that my son is a firstborn, but I don't want to get a double portion. So the Mishnah segues into the nemanis, the belief of a father, to say who is the firstborn son. So Rav Yisrael says, Omar, if a person says, Ish Plaini, that person, B'ni B'chayrihu, he's my firstborn son. So says Rav Yisrael, we believe the father, that Neitl Pishnai, and therefore that child will take a double portion. Which, as Rashbam explains, even the Rabbanan that disagreed with Yehuda later on in the sugya in the next daf, and they say that the father is not believed, that's only when there was a chazakah, there was a presumption already that this child is not the firstborn. So then they don't believe the father. But when there was no assumption, there was no presumption that he was not the Bukhar, then the Rabbanan agree, as the Gemara says later on, that the father is believed. Like the Gemara says, according to Rabbanan, what does the word Yaakov come to say? It's Bitzar Chakir. It's when we just need a clarification. We don't know who, not because we presume anyway. Then the father is believed. And that's what Rabbi Yisrael is saying, that if a father says he's my firstborn son, he's believed and he takes a double portion. But let's say he doesn't say the same way we just said it. Let's say he says, Ish Plaini B'chayhu. Let's say he says, that man is a firstborn. But he doesn't say, like we said in the first case, B'chayri. He doesn't say, my firstborn. Oh, then says Rav Yisrael, Ein Neitl Pishnayim. Then that child does not take a double portion. Why? Because Dilma Bukhar De'ima Kama. Maybe when he said that he's the firstborn, he was saying that he's the firstborn from his mother. And therefore, yes, let's regard to halachas of redeeming him with five slum, a pinya ben from the Kayin, that he's a firstborn, but not regarding inheritance. Because you have to be racious, you have to be the first seed of the father, and that he might not be. He might be the first from his mother, but not from his father. And since we're in doubt, we don't give him a double portion. And even if he grabs it, says Rashbam, the double portion, we take it away from him because we don't consider it, in this case, Yaker Lachem, because we're still in doubt. We don't know. The father didn't clarify, verify anything by saying he's a firstborn. He might be a firstborn from his mother. When he says he's my firstborn, then we know. But if it doesn't say that, then we don't know. As the Gemara illustrates this with a story, Ahuda Asla Kamed Rabbi Babachana. There was a certain person that came in front of Rabbi Babachana, and Omalei said to him, Mukhzikani Bezeshu Bukhar. I know for a fact that that person is a firstborn. And there was also another witness with him. So Amalei, so Rabbi Chana said to him, "No yadat, how do you know that he's a firstborn?" So he says, because Dabakari Le'avu, because I used to hear his father call him Bukhra Sikhla, a foolish firstborn. So on that, Rabbi Chana responded, but Dilma Bukhra De'imahu, but maybe he was only the firstborn from his mother. Because, and it actually proves his point, because the Chol Bukhra De'ima Nami, because actually every single firstborn that's only a firstborn from his mother, not from his father. Bukhra sikhla karle. Actually, that's what people call the firstborn child from only the mother, not the father. They call him a foolish firstborn. And again, it's not because that he's a fool. It's just because he's not a full-fledged bukhar, because he's only halfway, because he's only from his mother, not from his father. Just like we find in the halachas of lulav, where we call a hadashaita. It's not perfectly rounded, the three stems that come out from the stick of the hadas, where we have one lower than the two, we call Hadash Shaita because it's not kosher, it's not 100%. Here also we call him a Bukhar Sikhla because he's not a full-fledged Bukhar, because only from his mother, not from his father. And therefore he says there's no proof that he's a firstborn from his father to get a double portion. A similar but different incident, says the Gemara, Huda also lekamed Reb Chanina. It was a person that came in front of Reb Chanina. Amalei said to him, Mukhzikani bezeshu Bukhar. I know for a fact that this person is a firstborn, and he also had another witness with him. Now, this firstborn, as the Gemara will shortly say, his name was Shikras. So Amalei, Reb Chanina said to him, "No yadat." And where do you know that he's a firstborn? So Amalei said to him, "Because dichi hava asu, when people who had a problem, an ailment with their eyes, when they would come legabe avui, when they would come to this guy's father, Amalehu, he would tell them, Zilu legabe shikhas bri, go to my son Shikras, who that was the name of the firstborn," which Rashbam points out that this is not Reb Chanina's own son, which we mentioned in Chavav Med Alev, where actually Reb Chanina was being asked this question. He himself said that my son Shikras didn't die only because he cut down a fruit tree, not in this appropriate time. This is a different Shikras, where this father would say, "Go to my son Shikras, the Burchuhu, because he's a firstborn, Umasi Ruke, and his saliva, his salve, is healing for the eye." So he says, you see that he would call him his firstborn. So that Reb Chanina says, but Vidilma Bukhur di Imahu. But on that, the question was that maybe he was the firstborn of his mother. On that, says the Gemara, no, Gemiri, we have a tradition, Bukhur de Abba Masi Roke, the firstborn of the father, his saliva is healing. Bukhur di Imah le Masi Roke. However, the reason why Reb Chanina was saying that he's going to be a firstborn based on this person's testimony, even though, as we asked before, maybe he's calling him a firstborn from his mother, not from his father. It can't be, because the saliva, medicinally, it is only healing if he's a firstborn from his father, not from his mother. And if this person would always say, go to that son who's the firstborn who will heal for the eye, it's obviously a proof. And since he has another witness, that will verify that he's a firstborn and take a double portion in the inheritance.